So I did not grow up United Methodist, but the Methodist faith and practice was introduced to me by my wonderful church that I attended during my college years, Broadway United Methodist in Bowling Green, Kentucky. And so I remember among the earliest and the first things that I noticed about the Methodist faith from that church was that it always seemed like in that place, everyone was always looking for an opportunity to serve somebody else. All the time, it felt like there were church activities that they needed volunteers for, whether it was their charity consignment sale, their back-to-school bash for their partner elementary school, volunteers for their cold night shelter, adult chaperones for a youth summer camp, volunteers for the children's ministry. The list goes on. You can name it. And it seemed like no matter how many opportunities they announced during the announcement time, there were always an endless amount of people who were lined up ready to help in whatever way was needed. So because my husband and I were surrounded by this, it wasn't before long that we became those people, spinning cotton candy at the back-to-school bash, being a cashier for that consignment sale, being leaders at the summer youth camp, all in the name of spreading the love of Christ. Now, being further into my understanding and experience with United Methodism, I understand that that drive to serve somebody and always be supporting others, that is what John Wesley, who is the founder of Methodism, called social holiness. So I have a quote from him this morning that is found in his Hymns and Sacred Poems. In it, John wrote, "Solitary religion is not to be found. Holy solitaries is a phrase no more consistent with the gospel than holy adulterers. For the gospel of Christ knows of no religion but social, of no holiness but social holiness. Faith working by love is the length and the breadth and the depth and the height of Christian perfection." And so as we're talking about our relationship with our beliefs today in our Relationships 101 series, well, let's dive into this idea of our United Methodist faith. Let's dive into what John means here. What is social holiness anyway? How do we see and how do we understand it in the Bible? And how is it important to our life and our faith and our beliefs as United Methodists? So scripturally, we see this call to social holiness, this call to faith and action in James chapter 1, verses 19 through 27. And so I'll be reading this morning from the Common English Bible. "Know this, my dear brothers and sisters, everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to grow angry. That is because an angry person doesn't produce God's righteousness. Therefore, with humility, set aside all moral filth and the growth of wickedness, and welcome the word planted deep inside you, that very word that is able to save you. You must be doers of the word and not only hearers who mislead themselves. Those who hear but don't do the word are like those who look at their faces in a mirror. They look at themselves, walk away, and immediately forget what they look like. But there are those who study the perfect law, the law of freedom, and continue to do it. They don't listen and then forget, but they practice it in their lives. They will be blessed in whatever they do. If those who claim devotion to God don't control what they say, they mislead themselves. Their devotion is worthless. True devotion, the kind that is pure and faultless before God the Father, is this: to care for orphans and widows and their difficulties, and to keep the world from contaminating us." So we see here in these verses from James, he is reminding us of a delicate balance we have in life and in faith, and taking time to listen while also making time for action. It's such an important thing for us to remember as we think about what is our relationship with our belief. First, we have to take that critical step of listening. of taking the time to learn what it truly is that we believe. James is clear that we have to take that time to listen and contemplate what God is calling us to do in almost every situation in life. We can't let our anger or our temper get the best of us. We can't let the temptations and the pressures of our culture get the best of us either. It's so easy for us to rush to judgment, isn't it? To just go for our natural reaction or our natural way of responding to things. But that is not what God calls us to do. God calls us to respond in a different way, in a Christ-like way. Not in a way that's fueled by anger. Not in a way that gives someone else what they deserve. Not in a way where might makes right. Not in a way that is doing what everybody else is doing. God calls us to learn and to study the scriptures, to grow as disciples alongside others in this walk of faith so that we might truly understand what we believe and how our faith calls us to act. But James reminds us that our beliefs are not just things in our head. They're not just about being passive. They're not always about listening, but they are about action as well. To explain this, James uses this interesting image of a mirror. He says that if we don't put our beliefs into action, it's like looking in a mirror, walking away, and forgetting what we even look like. And so honestly, this metaphor in our own day, in our own context, well, it's kind of confusing. But I read a commentary this week that had this idea and this image of a mirror that helped explain it to me. It's read that this would have been very familiar to James's audience. So in that day and time, it was very popular in speech or even in literature to use this image of looking in a mirror as the key to one's self-improvement. So it was common for writers to use this image of a mirror as a time when someone would take a long, hard look at themselves and find ways to improve themselves and improve their morals based on what they found in the reflection. So James is reminding us that if we only know what we believe, if our faith is just something in our heads, it's thoughts and theologies all up there, well, we aren't really improving anything. We are going through the motions of only looking at ourselves in a mirror without even bothering to make a change. We are pretending to look at our imperfections and things we need to improve on, but instantly forgetting them the second we turn around. So when I thought on this idea of James and reflecting in a mirror and using a mirror to make a change, well, I don't know about you, but I couldn't help but have a certain song pop right in my head. The Man in the Mirror by none other than Michael Jackson. So I know, someone's going to say it was released in 1988. That was before I was born. But yes, I know the song and I made this connection. And so what was interesting was while writing the sermon, I went ahead and Googled the lyrics just to kind of remind myself what did the song say. And I was surprised by how well it actually fits with what James is saying here. So I'm not going to sing, but let me read through the lyrics I'm talking about for you. As I turn up the collar on my favorite winter coat, this wind is blowing in my mind. I see the kids in the street with not enough to eat. Who am I to be blind to pretending not to see their need? A summer's disregard, a broken bottle top, and one man's soul. They follow each other on the wind, you know, because they got nowhere to go. And that's why I want you to know. I'm starting with the man in the mirror, and I'm asking him to change his ways. And no message could have been any clearer. If they want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and make a change. So I saw that both Michael and James were making an important connection here. When we look at the mirror for that self-improvement, we don't do it just for our own sake. We don't just try to find out what would make us better people just for our own benefit. James reminds us very clearly in verse 27, true devotion, the kind that is pure and faultless before God the Father, is this: to care for orphans and widows in their difficulties. We don't just make a change for our own benefit. True devotion, being a true doer of the word, means caring for the least of these around us. And so Michael reminds us with those lyrics, when he is starting with the man in the mirror, he wants to make a change to be the kind of person who cares about children with nothing to eat and cares about people who have nowhere to sleep. Not just for his own vain self-improvement or his own personal benefit. And so I would say that this is also what John Wesley meant when he talked about social holiness. Wesley is reminding us that we just can't be Christians in a vacuum, that we cannot grow in our faith by studying and by reading and learning all on our own. Our actions are so critical to our faith as well. We must have what he calls faith working by love, all aimed at this thing called Christian perfection. And so I know Christian perfection can be a confusing thing, so let's take a sidebar here and unpack it here for a second. When Wesley talked about Christian perfection, he was not saying that every Christian has to be perfect in order to be a Christian. Christian perfection was meant to be this lifelong journey of growing in faith, this lifelong journey of being more like Christ, engaging in what he called means of grace to grow in sanctifying grace, which all this just means growing in grace to be more like Christ. And so what are these means of grace that we should practice according to Wesley? Well, they are all actions. They are things that we do. They are works of piety, like things we can do to better understand our relationship with God. Reading, praying, engaging in small group discipleship. And there were also what he called works of mercy. Our actions that you would do in order to spread the love of God in the world. Visiting the sick, feeding the hungry, giving to the poor, and advocating for justice in our world. Wesley reminded us that social holiness, that an active and growing faith, was all about having that balance of understanding God and being active in serving the world. Just like Michael Jackson and the man in the mirror had to make a change to better serve those in the hurting world. And just like James, who reminded us that we have to listen and be both hearers and doers of the word. So I don't know where you find yourself today and where your growing edges are in being more like Christ. But today we are going to focus on those things that Wesley called the works of mercy, what it means to have an active faith and be a doer of the word. There are so many opportunities within the life of our church and within our community as a whole to engage in works of mercy that make a difference for our world. If you're like me, you absolutely love Lakeland. There are so many wonderful things that the city has to offer. But that doesn't mean that there aren't still real hurts and real needs around us in our very community. There are real needs for safer and more affordable housing that organizations like Polk County Peace or the Salvation Army or Talbot House are trying to address. There are children in our very community that go hungry, but we partner with Kids Pack, with Called to Serve Farm Workers, or Glean with the Society of St. Andrews, all to help those families. There are children in our community that are in desperate need of clothes, and we have a clothing closet right on our campus that helps make that difference for them. And this is such a just tiny snapshot of how ordinary Christians like you and me can make such a difference for the least of these in our community. So I invite you, really think about how you are being called to make a difference. You can talk to me or another pastor after the service. You can get with Forrest White, who is our director of missions, or just visit our website under Get Involved. Find your way to put your faith into action and to be a doer of the word. So this Thursday morning, I was getting my son ready for school, and after he finished his breakfast, he absolutely insisted on taking some time to color. He just kept saying, color, color, color. He wanted to draw a picture. And so we were already running late to school, and I had no idea why he was so insistent on this, so I just grabbed my lifesaver, one of those special markers that only marks on the special paper. I grabbed them both, put them in the car seat, and we went off to school. So the whole time he's happily coloring in the back seat, and I'm thinking, okay, we're not going to be too terribly late. So when I take him to school, when I get him out of his car seat, he decides to still have that picture in his hand. I had no idea what he was going to do with it. And so he decides to run up and give it straight to his preschool teacher. I had no idea that all along that was his thought, that was his plan, but she was absolutely so touched by the gesture and that he took the time to do that. If you know a teacher, particularly a preschool teacher, in this time of COVID, it has been absolutely rough on them. But my son saw a little way to make a difference and was absolutely insistent on making sure that he made it happen. I love that passion and that commitment to making a difference, even my little two-year-old had. So may we all have that same insistence and that same commitment on meeting a need for someone else too. May you find a way to stoke that passion to be both a hearer and a doer of the word. Participate in that social holiness. Be a person of faith working in love. All for the sake of God's love and God's work in the world. Let's close in prayer together. God of love, we thank you for our faith as we have learned it through the scriptures and the ministry and example of Jesus Christ. May we take James's words to heart today, God. May we be both hearers and doers of the word, all for the sake of your work and your love in this world. Amen. We are so thankful that you joined us in worship this morning. And so as we prepare to go from this place, may you hear the benediction. May you be committed and insistent to meeting a need, to working that faith and love, to being both a hearer and a doer of the word. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.